Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And to welcome everyone to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review, who is also the author of The Weed Agency. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for you as usual as we begin the week. And Jim, we've got a major opportunity that we could see a change in majority of the U.S. Senate. Now, for that to happen, Republicans would need a net gain of 6 seats. But many people in the party are very bullish on this happening, not only due to the unpopularity of the president and the Democrats right now, but due to the recruitment of some pretty good candidates for some of these open seats and even ones that are held by Democrats running for reelection. One of the open seats is in Iowa, where Tom Harkin is retiring. Joni Ernst impressively won the Iowa primary. Many thought it could potentially go to a runoff. She avoided that by a long shot. And now she's had the opportunity this past weekend to deliver the Republican address. It used to be the radio address, but now it's in video form as well. I don't know how many people actually pay attention to this, but it does an excellent job of distilling the difference between the two parties. She began by talking about how, as a young person, she went on an agricultural exchange to the Soviet Union and was shocked by the lack of freedom, and that led her to be committed to defending the freedom in this country. And here's how she picks it up in the address.
Decades later, I am a lieutenant colonel and battalion commander in the Iowa Army National Guard. In fact, I'm recording this message a few days early, and by the time you hear this, I will be on active duty leading my troops for the next 2 weeks. Growing up on a farm in a small town in Iowa, I learned that America's greatness comes from people, not government. The problem in America today is that Washington is full of liberals who think government is the solution to every problem. They think that nothing can be solved unless Washington is involved. And so they grow our government every year, making it more intrusive and more involved in our lives. Today, government tells us what doctors to see, what kinds of light bulbs to use, and in some places, even how much soda we can drink.
Then she goes on to talk about specific Republican proposals, balanced budget amendment, all the above energy programs and so forth. So, Jim, there's a lot more to this woman than just the fact that she used to castrate some hogs.
Yeah, which, by the way, should not be underestimated as right. a right. candidate appeal, or at least for standing out in a crowd. You want to talk about just in terms of ideal candidate biography? We've had a lot of discussion regarding the problems on the border of the optics of the president not doing this. You can't ask for many better optics than saying, hey, I have to suspend my campaign for 2 weeks. I had to go serve in the National Guard. It'll be interesting to see if Bruce Braley decides to run attack ads during this time period. That would be exceptionally unwise on his part, but I never underestimate the Democrats' ability to go negative early and often in circumstances like this. It'll also be interesting to see if we see any movement in the numbers, you know, when the candidate is away. It's kind of, you know, maybe candidate campaigns are actually better when their candidates are off doing something that's kind of indisputably serving the country and, I think, you know, universally recognized as noble work, than running around doing the traditional candidate things, at least in the middle of July. So we'll see how this shakes out, but obviously a very strong potential candidate. You know, there's not been a lot of polling out there lately, but it shows them pretty close. Nobody should consider this to be a slam dunk for Republicans, but kind of like the way things are looking at in Iowa, at least so far.
On to the bad martini, and this is one we've certainly touched on before, but Jim, there's no shortage of topics about the bad martini. We've got violence throughout the Middle East. We've got the border crisis going on, and I'm sure we'll touch on those again in days to come. But this is from The Hill, courtesy of an interview the Attorney General Eric Holder did with ABC. Here's how The Hill puts it. Attorney General Eric Holder said Sunday that he and President Obama have been the targets of a racial animus by some of the administration's political opponents. Quote, there's a certain level of vehemence, it seems to me, that's directed at me and directed at the president. You know, people talking about taking their country back. There's a certain racial component to this for some people. I don't think this is the thing that is a main driver, but for some there is a racial animus. And Jim, obviously, somewhere there, this could be a factor for somebody. But when you look at the approval numbers of the president, I don't think it has anything largely to do with race. It has to do with job performance and where he stands on issues.
I suppose we should be thankful for that molecule of credit. Well, it's not it's not everyone is racist. Is all, you know, not everyone is motivated entirely by race, but we'll give him a little bit of credit. Look, there are few things in the world more delegitimizing than an accusation of racism. Right? I mean, you know, there's this universal perception that, look, you're not supposed to be racist in the United States. You're supposed to believe in equal treatment under the law. And so if you say, you know, boy, oh, boy, you're doing a crappy job, Mr. Attorney General. And he turns around and says, look, that's, you know, clearly driven by a racial animus. Look, let's put a white attorney general in there. Let's see how things look. You know, the perception of Janet Reno on the right wasn't much better. I suppose they'd attribute that to sexism or something like that. But, you know, like when Alberto Gonzalez was attorney general for the Bush administration, I think we can argue, you know, there can be a bipartisan agreement of a flawed attorney general for the Bush administration. Was there this knee-jerk accusation that it was anti-Latino bias that was driving that perception? Or was it actually that, no, actually people didn't like the decisions he was making? You know, it is this form of delegitimizing criticism that's invoked with increasing frequency, kind of like chaff designed to, you know, to throw off the opposition heat-seeking missiles, so to speak. And do you remember way back when, in 2007, 2008, Greg, when people thought that electing Barack Obama would kind of soothe over and smooth and improve race relations in this country?
I do.
Right. Remember, that was like a long time ago. And perhaps it was, I think it was safe to say it was a pretty naive perspective, because the temptation to attribute racism to one's political opponents is just too much for them to resist as a way of cutting off debate and insisting that there is no legitimate criticism of them.
All right. On to the crazy martini now. And there's a new face at the White House. We haven't talked about him too much, but Jay Carney is gone now as the press secretary. And Josh Earnest, who was his deputy, is now the new press secretary. He was doing an interview with CNN when the reporter brought up the issue of journalists not being too happy with the level of transparency in this administration. And here's how that went.
Have you seen this letter this week from the Society of Professional Journalists? It's from 40 press groups, all saying that the president should be more transparent.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, I think the president's record of transparency stands up to any of the record of his predecessors.
But you did see the letter. You did hear it from the groups.
I did.
Do you think they have legitimate concerns?
Well, again, they're all journalists. And if the day that they stop, the day that they sort of sit back and say, you know what, we don't need to write a letter. The White House is telling us everything that they're supposed to, is the day that they're no longer doing their jobs.
Jim, do you read that as a no?
I guess we give a little bit of credit to Josh Earnest. To quote Oliver Twist, he's a bit of an artful dodger there. You know, hey, it's almost like saying, they're saying we're astonishingly inept or you know, dishonest and duplicitous and not being honest with people. And good for them for doing their jobs. Yeah, but that means, Josh, you're not doing your job. And I think you can now conclude that with the press secretary named Josh Earnest, his middle name is not. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Yeah, from Gibbs to Carney, now to Earnest. There's a common thread there. Transparency, not the greatest in this administration. And I love how they say, we'll stack it up next to any predecessor. But they don't say how it would stack up to previous.
Yeah, you can compare any two things, you know.
That's right.
This is an apple and this is an orange. And they're both fruit, so you can compare apples and oranges.
Exactly. Interesting start to the week, Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to join us again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.